That's not the worship service. The worship service is from the time you come in to the time you leave. Here at the Church at Lafayette, we want it to be a meaningful experience, not something that you go home and forget about or wait for time to quit so we can go home. We want it to be an exceptional, enjoyable, and exciting time. We want a successful church. I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about having a successful church. In fact, the next couple of weeks, I want to talk to you about vision and purpose, yours, ours, corporately, and what we expect to happen here at the Church of Lafayette in our region, in our area. Over the past 10 years, we've had a very successful ministry. We've grown. We've done some wonderful things in our city. I'm going to talk about those, not this week so much, but in a couple of weeks. There's been 6 or 7 areas that we have just totally, absolutely been leaders. We have been innovators. We have been on the cutting edge of what God wanted to do and is doing in the world today. We have been forerunners, pioneers. Just a few. How about in praise and worship? How about the dance? How about the school, a Christian school that's set up not just to educate the child in educational and in knowledge and understanding, but also it's set to equip them in spiritual matters. That's pioneering. That's something totally unique and totally different. How about in church government? Amen? That we have pioneered. We have come into a realm of church government that is absolutely unbelievable. I mean, when you look around and you look at the denominational systems who vote them in and vote them out and who walk in that mentality of a hireling, you know, that's just not what we do. And we have come into a place of pioneering. We are a pioneering type of a church. I think set of God with purpose and with meaning. And I really believe that as long as we have the attitude of a Joshua and Caleb, that we say it's but meat for us. The enemy will say there's giants in the land. And a lot of people will say we can't do that. There's giants in the land. But as long as we have the mentality there but meat for us, we can do it. As long as we're going to do that, he'll never stop working here. Let this generation die here. He's going to keep on using us and keep on growing us and take us into the promise. Amen? That's what we want. But I want to talk to you. And the thing I've got to establish in your hearts and lives, first of all, is that you have a purpose and that you have a promise of God. Now, I want to say a couple of things before I get into this. About 3 thoughts, quickly. Water baptism next week. We're going to be having a water baptism service. Already a couple of people have come and desire water baptism, if you desire it. And I don't care if you've been baptized before. I've been baptized twice myself. And I'll probably be baptized a whole lot more. But it's a circumcision of the mind. I've dismissed the children. Are they can go? Are they not going? Sure. After we receive the giving, then you go. I'm sorry. I thought that I made that clear. Next week, water baptism. Don't care how old or young you are. I don't care if you've been baptized 15 times. If you have problems understanding Scripture, your mind needs circumcision. You need the circumcision of the mind. It hasn't taken place yet. You've gotten wet, but we need to have that mind circumcised. And we want to do that. My daughter was baptized with us years and years ago, but she was baptized last time we had baptismal service back during the revival, and she's totally different. Her mind's been opened up to the things of the Spirit in greater dimension, and she's just different. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't been water baptized, or if you have been and you're not where you want to be, and you feel like there's something that's still missing in your water baptism, then we'll be doing this next week. Just let me know so that we'll be able to plan for you. Also, most of us are aware that Betty Cooper's husband, Bob, passed away this past Friday. Is that correct? The funeral will be today at 2 o'clock at, I think it's Mount View Baptist. I'm going to give you directions to get there in just a second. I would appreciate your attending the funeral service, and I know that she would. I talked to her this morning. She's doing well. She slept well last night. We were down there, many of us, last night at the funeral home visiting with them. The family's doing well. But what I want to say to you is I'm going to talk about this today a little bit. This is a tremendous opportunity to minister. I'm going to show you in a little while, but the people that the Lord really will bring into the kingdom are people in crisis. And that family is in crisis right now. They've lost their leader. And they're open for ministry. They have been overwhelmed by the love that you have already expressed to them. They have been overwhelmed by the food that you have sent to them. They have food coming out their ears, nearly literally. It's even out the windows of their house, I'm sure. But they are really being ministered to. And so I'm going to show you that when people are in crisis, when people hit these times in their lives, they're very vulnerable. And that is a very, very fertile or open harvest field there. Amen? And we love Betty. We know we're not just going to just do this just to, but we want to minister not just to her, but to the children. Of course, it's not just Betty's husband or only Betty's husband. And so we want to remember them. If you can't go, be praying for them. But the funeral will be today at 2 o'clock. Let me give you quick directions. And if you don't get it, just let me know, and I'll give it to you after the service. You go down of 2 Timothy. Chapter 1. And as I've already stated, I want to talk to you about church vision and purpose over the next couple of weeks. And I'm really wanting the Lord to take it and make it something that will speak to your spirit and to your heart. But to get to where you'll understand where I want to talk about having a successful church, you have got to understand in your own personal life that there's a purpose for you being alive. Set of God. Not your purpose, but His purpose. And that the reason that you were saved, hear me now, please hear this. The reason that God chose you and saved you was for His purpose. It's not so you can die and go to heaven. That is a reward. But there's a purpose for you being alive. I want you to see that. Because until you understand that you have a purpose, I have a purpose, and that what you and I will do is we'll come together and put our purposes together, form a net. And the kingdom of God is likened to a great net that is cast into the sea and brings all manners of fish in. And we net together, we put our purposes together, and the kingdom of God will be like that. And we'll put our net into this whole region, and we'll start bringing fish in when we hook up our purposes. But as long as your purpose is separate from my purpose and my purpose is separate from your purpose, we don't understand that the right way that it's supposed to be, then we'll have big holes in our net. Okay? So this is the first thing I want you to understand today, and what I want to get across today is that you have a purpose that must link, weave with my purpose. With that person to the right and to the left of you. The person in the back must link to the person in the front. We must link together and understand that we have a purpose here, and that's why God has you here, has me here. Because we have a like spirit, a like kindred spirit, and God wants to use us. So here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose. Now let's digest that. Did He call you for anything that you've ever done in the past? Did He? Any ability that you've ever had or could do in the past, is that why He called you? No. You're not called because of something you can do, a works that you have, an ability. You're not called because of that. No, you're not saved by works. What are you saved by? Grace through faith. Unto. Good works. He didn't call you for what you have done. He's going to call you for what you will do. You're not saved by grace. Are you? Well, I said it too quick or something. You are saved by grace. Right? Unto good works. So understand that what this scripture is clearly saying to you and to me, He saved you. He's called you by a holy calling. Not according to what you have done in the past, but according to what He wants you to do in the future. Do you see that? It's vital. You're not called to sit. You're not called to sing. Or you may be. That may be a part of your calling. But what I'm trying to say, there is a reason and a purpose that supersedes what we understand when we come into the kingdom. When I came into the kingdom of God, there was no way that I would ever understand that I would be in Lafayette, Georgia, preaching on March the 26th, 1995. But he called me for this purpose. And so what he wants you to do is understand there is something that he has ordained from the foundations of the world for you to do. Now, that's why he saved you. And I know that our mentality and what we've heard over the years is so that we can die and go to heaven. No, that is a reward. The reason he did it was for you to do something in the kingdom of God. And that's your purpose. Now, not only will you know that there is a purpose for your life, but also, now hear this, you will know what that purpose is. I've talked to a lot of Christians, they have no idea, they don't have a clue of what they're supposed to be doing. But the Bible clearly says that you will understand it, you will know it. And not only will you know it, I'll know it. Not only will I know it, but everybody around you will know it. Many, many, many will know what your purpose is. Now let me show you this. Look, stay in the same book of Timothy. Turn to chapter 3, verse 10. Have we settled that? Is there a purpose for your being alive? Is there a purpose for him to call you and to save you? Okay. And many of you already know what your purpose is. You already know it, but you don't know how to manifest it. You don't know how to make it work. Well, the way you're going to make it work, the way you're going to manifest it is to hook up with other people with purposes, and you're going to hook your purpose with our purpose, and all of a sudden we become a net, and all of a sudden these purposes start working together, and we'll start seeing fish come into the kingdom. So here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, "But thou hast fully known," that's what King James says. The NIV Bible says, you know all about it. And then I think the NASV Bible says, you followed it. You've been able to watch this and follow this. "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience." And then he goes on into verse 11 and he talks about my persecutions and my sufferings. Let me tell you something. Just as sure and as easily as you can see my persecutions, sufferings, my patience, my long sufferings. If you can see that, then you can also see my purpose. Is that what that verse says to you? You fully know it. You're fully aware of it. You can see it. You followed it. And if you're around me enough, you'll know what my purpose is. You'll be able to follow it. You'll know it. I'll know it. We'll all know it. If I'm around you long enough, I'll be able to follow what your purpose is. Just as long, as sure as I can see your patience, your long sufferings, what you're suffering through, what you're going through, I'll also be able to see what your purpose in the kingdom of God is. Is that clear? Do you have a purpose? Is it clear what it should be? I mean, should it be clear? Maybe that's the way I should say that. Sure it should. And you've got to link up. A fishnet is made up of all these strands and all this cord woven together. But if you take one strand and just throw it out there, it's not going to do any good. But if you weave it with others, and you weave it all together, Doug, you start forming a net. And you have a little net to start with. And some of you women have what do you call it, knitted, crocheted sweaters. And you start with just little threads. Little balls of thread. And you start doing these little stick things. And this little thing starts coming into something. And it starts forming. And then you can make a sweater or a blanket or a garment. And anyway, it starts forming. And it gets bigger and bigger. So as God brings us together and starts weaving us together and putting us together, the net gets bigger and bigger. And all of a sudden, he has a great fish net that he can throw into the world to see and draw in all manners of fish. And remember, it's not our responsibility to separate them, is it? Who separates them? What are we supposed to do? That's it. And what we've done in the past, we've tried to separate them. Well, let's stop separating them. Let's just get them in. So understand that you have a purpose. And understand that it needs to be clear. You need to understand. And if you don't understand, then hook up with some other people. It'll start becoming clear. And we'll start weaving together. Now, with that understood, if you understand that, first of all, you have a purpose. Secondly of all, that purpose should be clear. It should be available to you, what that purpose really is. Then what you've got to understand, thirdly, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, turn there. A little more scripture than I normally turn to, but that's okay. I want you to get this first before we go any further. You got to understand that there's a purpose for this church. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. You got to understand that there's a purpose for this church, there's a purpose for that church, and that church, and that church, every church. There's a purpose that should be encompassed in revealing the manifold wisdom of God, or the many-sided aspects of God, or are the different parts of... How many knows that we attract and can net and can bring in a totally different type of people, type of fish, than they do across the street? Because we are revealing a different aspect of the wisdom of God. And then there's a church down here and a church up there. And if we'll understand this principle, we'll stop fighting over sheep and start trying to catch more fish as we begin to link together. And understand that each of us are revealing an aspect of the wisdom of God. Is that okay? And so here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, now what we're looking for here is to understand that this church has a purpose. We're just not here doing service. We're not here coming trying to get people to go to heaven. What we're here to do is to bring forth the wisdom of God to powers and principalities. Now look at this, Ephesians 3, verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. That the church can reveal to the principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Understand that there is a higher dimension of salvation than going to heaven. Now, hopefully we'll all get there in the sweet by and by. I don't want to go today. I have a funeral I have to preach. Okay? There's things I want to do in the kingdom. I think there's things that God wants me to do in the kingdom. I don't think it's my time yet. I don't think it'll ever be my time, just to tell you the truth. But it's walking in this purpose and understanding that your purpose and this church's purpose has to come together and net together. And because in doing this, now then we're able to reveal to the powers and the principalities the manifold wisdom of God. You somehow have a like spirit to me. I have a like spirit to you. And what we are able to do because of this kindredness is that we're able to come together, weave together, and manifest and make a net that will catch fish. I can't be a string unto myself, and you can't be a string unto yourself. But if we start netting together and understanding all of our different ways, we've done all this character stuff. We know there's different kinds of people. Four people can look at the same problem and come up with four different solutions. That's not wrong. That's the way God's made us. We understand all that. And we understand that as we come together, we put our purposes together. We're not warring together. We just understand that you have a purpose, I have a purpose, and that what we need to do for each other is help each other fulfill the purpose. Because in so doing, we will reveal the manifold wisdom of God to the powers and principalities. Am I right? That's the purpose of this church. In some way, some tiny, tiny way of the manifold, many-sided, magnificent wisdom of God, we're supposed to be able to reveal it to our region and to our area. We're to take a part of it and reveal it. It's a different part than they'll reveal. Because if we were going to reveal the same part, there's no need in having two buildings and two separate people, a bunch of people. Let's get together and reveal the same thing. They're going to reveal something different than we're going to reveal. And so we've got to understand that. Now, understand, first of all, you have a purpose. You should be able to know what that purpose is. And then thirdly of all, that your purpose comes into this place, into this net, and we net together to form the purpose of this church. Now, what is the purpose of this church? Now, understand that once you tap into your purpose, once you hook into it, that all of a sudden your life has meaning. Without the understanding of the purpose of God, you are a ship in the night, drifting around by the waves and the wind. But with the purpose, you have a lighthouse. And I don't care what you go through, what storms of life come, there is still that purpose. And no matter what's raging against your life, what darkness that you're going through, you have a purpose and there's a reason for your existence, and that's going to take precedence and power over everything else that you'll ever go through. with a purpose, you can understand the scripture where it says, take up your cross daily and follow me. Without a purpose, you're wandering around wondering, what am I here to do? What am I supposed to accomplish? I'm so unfulfilled. I'm so unhappy. There's no real reason for my existence. Suicidal thoughts. Just discontentment filters through your mind. But all of a sudden, when you get a purpose, that becomes the priority of life. That is the main thing that you breathe to do. And everything else comes under that. And Jesus says it this way, seek you first the kingdom of God and everything else will come into its place. So understand that once you grasp into it, filter that into the kingdom of God, come into the fishnet and become a part of the kingdom of God, then all of a sudden now we can greatly better understand the purpose of the church. Now in the past, and again, over the next couple of weeks I want to talk about what's happened here. I mean, magnificent things have happened at the church at Lafayette. Magnificent things. Great things have happened. And the Lord wants to continue them to happen. And so what we've got to understand, in the past we had a vision, and it was taken from scriptures. It was from Romans chapter 8, verses 29, 30, 31, where it says that His purpose is to conform us to His image. Now, that's still a part of the purpose. But how do you do that? How do you conform people to the image? Do they come in here preaching every week? Is that going to do it? Has it done it yet? No. I don't see any of us looking like Jesus yet. Okay? So, there's more to it than what we're doing. So, I was walking with the Lord last Thursday morning. We're looking at the property over here on the bypass to wanting to obtain it. And I go over there from time to time. They've given me permission just to walk on it. I go over there and just walk with the Lord. Me and the Holy Spirit. Let me say this in the correct order. Father, the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and me walk together. And we talk and we have a good time. And it never fails that when I go there and spend time with the Lord, that He doesn't really give me a blast. I mean, He just knocks me out. So I'm walking along, you know, over there in the woods. Lord, I praise You. I love You. I'm being real religious, real spiritual. And I'm just worshiping Him, you know. Lord, I just want to serve You. And then the Lord speaks to me and He says, I don't need to be served. Will you quit that junk? Say what, Lord? I just want to serve You, Lord. I don't want to be served. And I say, well, what do you mean, Lord? And I know you're trying to tell me something now, because this is pretty heavy. Hey, how many knows it is biblical to serve Jesus? We serve the Christ. We serve Father. What He's saying is, hey, look, I don't need to serve me. What I need you to serve is people. Because in serving Him, serving people, I am serving Him. You say you love God, and you hate your brother. You're a liar. And He says, I want you to serve people. So I had to come back and kind of look up some scriptures and get settled in that. And I got one, and I went in there and showed it to Steve. And you'll find out that that's a very biblical thought. He wants us to serve people. He wants people to be ministered to. And so the purpose of the church must come to the place that transcends beyond doctrine into serving and ministering and loving and caring for people. Example, the Cooper family right now. For in this will all men know that you're My disciples, for your love. Not for Me, but what? One to another. So, in the past, this church and most churches that I'm aware of have been built upon the premise that we go to church to be fed. Now, is there anything wrong with that? Did Jesus tell Peter to feed My sheep? Sure He did. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with feeding God's people. Nothing wrong with that. I want to tell you a story that Wayne Williams tells you. And by the way, he's going to be here May the 21st, we're going to start a revival again. There will be some laughing going on. Are you ready, Renee? You about to go a while ago. I saw you. You're about ready to pass on. Anyway, in the past, we've had this emphasis that we go to church to be fed. And the emphasis is doctrine. I want to hear this guy's doctrine. I want to hear how he teaches about the kingdom of God and overcoming the devil and manifesting it here. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. And so we have gone 10 years with this, and it's been okay. Feed my sheep. Story Wayne Williams tells about his son. When his son was a baby, he would walk into the house and the little baby would be nursing on his mother's breast. He said, "That's cute. That looks nice. It's really nice." But now the child is 18 years old. And he says, "If I was to go in my house now and find my son nursing on my wife's breast, I'd beat him about the head and shoulders." Because what was once natural becomes unnatural. Feed my sheep. But there becomes a time, Don, when we got to feed ourselves. Am I right? And so we've got to transcend beyond this mentality that I'm coming to church to get fed, to a mentality that the church is the place that saves souls. Church is the place to save souls. And the emphasis becomes now not doctrine, but people. How many knows we got enough doctrine to last us till Jesus comes? Amen? There's nothing wrong with doctrine. They stay steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. You need good doctrine. You need a good foundation because the church must be established upon the foundation of apostles and prophets. We understand that. We've got that mentality. We've got doctrine. We've been fed. But now what must happen is we must emphasize people. It's time now. Come into a fishnet mentality where we're emphasizing people. Now, I want to just share a scripture with you today, and we're going to get into more of this as the weeks progress. But I want to share with you something that Lance has kind of shared with us over on Wednesday nights. And I want you to see this. I want you to look at Luke 14. With me. Luke 14, verse 21. What is a successful church? Can I tell you one thing that perturbs me, that baffles me? Is that when I see individuals, let me say it another way. One thing that baffles me is that in an area, in a region, you have one person with a tremendous anointing, and there's another pastor, another man of God, who doesn't have the anointing that the other pastor has, but yet the pastor without seemingly as much anointing is affecting his region in a far greater way. Now that baffles me. How does that work? Why is it that a man can have an anointing, but yet there's another man of God who maybe not has quite the amount of anointing, but yet he affects his region and his area in a far greater way? Because the man without as much anointing has learned to do something that the man with the anointing has not learned yet. Am I right? The man without as much anointing has learned how to fishnet. How to make a successful church that is able to minister to people and not on his doctrine. And so a successful church is not a church just with good doctrine. A successful church is a church that ministers to people. And here in Luke chapter 14 and in verse 21. Now let me give you the king has set forth this great feast. And people began to give all excuses not to come. One says, I'm in real estate, and I got to go check out my real estate. Other says, I got a new toy. I got to go play with my new toy. And other says, I got married. And my wife just doesn't want me to come to church today. And so what he says is, well, then I want you to go out and I want you to get some more people. And here's where we start reading. So that the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, would you say that back to me? Being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. How many see that they're looking for people in crisis? Huh? You see that? Looking for people whose lives are a mess. Looking for people who's poor, maybe not only financially, but poor in spirit. They're just poor in the way they think. Looking for people who have crippled and broken lives. Looking for people who are blind and groping around in darkness, that just out there shifting around in ships drifting around. He says, I want you to go out. I want you to find these cripples, these people in crisis. Now, how many knows that if you're in crisis, that nobody has to come and find you? That actually you're going to find them. You're going to find somebody when you're in crisis. Is Becky? Becky's gone to the back with the kids, has she? She went home? The funeral, I'm sure she had to get home and get ready. It's just sweet of her being here today. It was Friday morning. It was right at 10 o'clock, wasn't it, Steve? Phone rang, and Mr. Almond buzzed me on the intercom and said, Pastor Young said, Becky's on the phone and her grandfather's passed away. Well, it was foreign to me. Bob wasn't sick, to my knowledge, and this shouldn't happen. You know, and I was thinking, grandfather, now which side is this on? So I picked the phone up and I started talking to Becky. I said, Becky, who died? And she began to tell me. And it was really foreign to me. And it took me a few seconds to put together all the facts and find out that it was Betty's husband that had passed away. Now, Becky was in crisis, Doug. And I didn't have to call Becky and say, hey, Becky, you in crisis today? What did Becky do? She called me. Said, I'm in crisis. And what we've got to understand is that when we hit crisis, we're going to get somebody. And when people get in crisis, they're going to get to us. And he says, you're not going to have any trouble here finding these people. If you just go out there, they're going to come to you. They're lame, they're bald, they're halt, they're poor, they're blind. You won't have any trouble finding them because they're very obvious. How many knows it's not difficult to find a blind man? If a man's blind, is it difficult to tell that he's blind? Is it difficult to find a crippled man? And so what you understand is that when this happens, then they're there and go get them. Just get them. Now, these people are in crisis. And I really believe that the church today is living in a time, I really do believe this, that the Lord is beginning to get angry with us. Because we're just sitting in our building, we're all emphasizing our doctrine, we're just talking about ourselves, we're so self-serving, that God, what God wants to do is love people. Amen? Man, let's laugh, Renee. Amen. Joy of the Lord. And what we've got to understand this principle that God is changing us from the past to the future. He saved us not because of what we have done, but for what He wants us to do. And there's a new dimension that we're coming into in this place and in our lives. And we've all got to get to the point where we can change from an emphasis of my doctrine and what I'm saying to an emphasis of people. Now, look at the world, look at society today. People are dabbling in the occult as never before. Why? Because they're looking for the supernatural. Where should they find the supernatural, Kevin? In the church. Should the church be supernatural? It should be unnatural to come here and the supernatural not be here. Did I say that right? We're supposed to be supernatural. And they're out there looking everywhere. They're not going to the church. But if the church had it, where would they go? And kids are running around with five holes in their ears. Now, why is this? What is behind this? They're so sick and tired of status quo. They're looking for something that's got some substance and some reality to it. Well, maybe if I stick some holes in my ears. But they're so sick of what we've been calling church. They just want to be loved. Somebody love me. If I stick these holes in my ears, maybe you'll notice me. Right? If I wear these strange clothes and do these dumb things, maybe somebody will notice me. It's real, isn't it? And we all know these people that we thought were weird, but Jesus says these are the ones I want you to go out and get because they're poor and they're lame and they're halt and they're crippled and they're blind. Go get them. Bring them in. Love them. I want my house full. And society is so goofed up. People got devils on them and demons in them. Homes are oppressed. Marriages are falling apart. Kids are in rebellion. They're lame. They're halt. They're crippled. Go get them, he says. Let me a light be salt. Let them see it in you so that they'll come. They're easy to find. Child abuse, wife abuse, husband abuse. Epidemics in our society. Goodness gracious. What's the stat now? 1 out of 5 little girls are abused? 2 out of 5? Oh! Is that a crippled, broken, blind life? 2 out of 5. My God. Where is the church? We're in here teaching our doctrine. We're talking about when Jesus is going to come or not come. We're saying you can talk in tongues. And maybe you're not saved if you don't. Now, churches are saying that. And we don't. I don't care if you talk in tongues or not. Just come to church and let's love you. If that's something God wants you to do, He'll tell you. I talk in tongues. More than you all. But I just want to, you know, we got to understand this junk has got to stop and we've got to learn fish netting. Right. And we've divided over dumb doctrine. And we should be uniting to fish net. Right. And so what God's saying to us in the next years is that you're going to come into a new love for people. You're going to come into something that's real, not superficial. So the question is, why do we want a successful church? So we can have more people than them? Is that why? So that we can say, we got the best pastor? Well, maybe you do, but it's not why we want a successful church. How many know there's a lot of churches in our area who are doing a better job influencing our area? With or without the anointing that I have, whether I have one or not. So what I'm trying to say to us today is that we've got to come to the place where we want a successful church, not because we've got the best doctrine or the best praise and worship or the best teaching or the best facilities or the best children's ministries, but we have to have a successful church because we just love people. And we don't care if they got 5 earrings in their nose. We're going to love them. And whether they talk in tongues or don't talk in tongues, it don't matter. We just want to love people. And whether Jesus comes now, raptures us out, takes us home for 7 years, doesn't matter. If He comes next year, next month, 50 years from now, it doesn't matter because we want to love people. Amen. And the emphasis, Doug, is from doctrine to people. A lot more important than my dumb doctrine. I'm going to share this today at the funeral. I'm quitting. I'm going to share this today at the funeral. We was at the assembly up here on the street. And it was in 1985. And Betty and Bob had come. The church has exploded in the first year. And people were coming. And Bob was coming real regular. And so I was teaching these really important things, whether like, well, is there a Santa Claus or not? I mean, you know, serious doctrine. You can't have a Christmas tree in the church. Serious stuff, you know. So it got to be October, and I said, well, I'll preach on Halloween. So I was preaching on Halloween. Bob was there. I said, that's the other devil. Dress your kids up like ghosts and goblins. Send them out. That's of the devil. Important stuff. Well, Bob was there. Bob didn't like that. Because, you see, his grandchildren were far more important than my doctrine. Bob didn't come back. For a long time. I mean, here's that. Bob just wanted to be loved. He wanted his grandkids loved. If you can't love me, you can't love my grandkids, I ain't coming to hear you. There's nothing wrong with my grandkids dressing up, coming to my house, me giving them candy. I love my grandkids more than I love your doctrine. Is there a Santa Claus anyway? Is there one? I mean, you know, we build a church on these kinds of things. How many people have I run away with my stupid doctrines? Jesus, forgive me. Lord, I love you. I want to lift you, Jesus. Not my doctrine. So in the future, our emphasis is going to be on saving souls. And the purpose of this church is to love people. And the way we're going to do this is through kingdom teachings, which is love. For God is love. And through the house churches are the life groups. We're going to minister to people. That's how it will happen. When people come here, they'll leave knowing we care about them and we love them. We're going to touch their lives. We're going to love them when they're down. And they're in crisis, folks. We're going to meet their needs. We're going to live with them. We're going to be there with them. They're going to become the priority. Amen. His church has a purpose. You have a purpose. I have a purpose. We net together. We become the purposes of God. It's not important about doctrine. What is important is that people are what He came and died for. God so loved my doctrine that He sent His only begotten Son. Hello? I love you. But better than that, God loves you. He wants to meet every need you have and every need you will ever have. Sin is not important to God. Can you hear that? Please hear me right. He has dealt with sin. By you allowing your sin to come between you and Him, you're saying that the blood of Jesus Christ is not sufficient to deal with your sin. Your sin is bigger than His blood. It is not. The only sin that is that big is believing that it can't deal with it. It's only blasphemy, which is saying that it's not true, that His blood isn't good enough to forgive me. He is not interested in your sin. He's interested in your life. He came to give you life and that abundantly. I don't care if you're sick. I don't care if you're broke. I don't care if your family's a mess. I don't care if your children are in rebellion. I don't care what's going on in your life. He wants to fix it. And He's given us precious promises to do it. And He loves us so much that He died for us. No greater love doth a man have for a brother that he should lay down his life. Whatever your need is today, I don't care. There is a promise in the Bible to fix it. And we have a covenant that is established upon better promises. Whatever that it is, I want you to come down right now. I want to pray for you. Whatever that it is, be coming right now.